Dr. Paul Bonticelli is a Regent University's new EVP and an expert in international relations, who has White House appointed as Deputy Administrator of the United States Agency for International Development, Bureau for Democracy. That's easy for me to say. Paul, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Got some questions to ask you about Mr. Gaddafi, but before we dive in to Muammar's family, I just want to get your thoughts as you've watched the last few days of Mr. Gaddafi's compound be stormed and him lose the Capitol. What are your thoughts?
Well, I got to tell you, as an American and one who's worked in this field, jubilation. I'm not going to jump around with a Kalashnikov and shoot in the air, but it's very exciting to see people be liberated after 40 years of one of the worst dictators in the Middle East. And we're really down to one now. When Gaddafi is ultimately gone, you have Assad in Syria, and you have a real sweep across the Middle East, and that's due to American influence from Clinton through Bush and now President Obama.
Well, you think once you get to these very radical leaders out, that it would be a good thing, but when you don't know who's going to come in, and it could cause some concern.
I think you're exactly right, and I would just say, as kind of nerve-wracking as it is always better when people who oppress others see that they will fall, and when people can take confidence as human beings that we don't have to live this way forever. I think that, you know, it's going to be tough, it's going to be rough, it's going to be a while. But you never have the opportunity to build a peaceful democracy if you have a dictator in place like that, and then it passes from father to son, etc.
What are the political ramifications? What's this mean for the U.S.?
I think I have not been very pleased with the way the current president has handled this, because I think he's been a little too timid with what he said, although what he's done is it's been a military policy, contrary to the Wade campaign. And I think that is good for the United States in the sense that people understand we will still stand up for people who are trying to be free, and we still have the might to be able to do it. There's a lot of talk in the last 2 years about how weak and poor the United States is, and that's not healthy for international relations, for really the one superpower that everybody really looks to solve the problems. We can't look weak. It's bad for the world, not just for us.
What will happen to Gaddafi?
You know, I think that because Libya is a place where he has so dominated government, and it's a tribal arrangement there. There are over 120 tribes. In other words, it's going to be a bit more chaotic for him. There's no one on the ground to take him into a safe place, make sure he has a trial and all of that. So I would think that it's 50-50. He's killed when they find him by the rebels and the citizens. Versus somehow being turned over to a justice system that the transnational or transitional government will put together. He should come here, I think. He owes a debt of justice to the United States and to people who died on the flight that he had blown up. But I just don't think we know right now. It's too chaotic on the ground.
You know, Paul, I'm a little surprised that he was still there, much like Saddam Hussein, who was found hiding. Why wasn't he smart enough to get the heck out of there?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there are some reports that he could be in Venezuela, and certainly that's the safest place to go. But, you know, if you look at Venezuela for the last 6 months, Chavez has been in a lot of trouble. All of his policies have failed, of course, and now he has cancer. So it may not be the best place to go. There's something about these guys. There's a cowardliness to them, because anybody who's a dictator and rules that way tends to hide behind force and just brutalize other people. And so I think going into a hole somewhere is kind of a natural thing. They spend their careers, you know, preparing for this moment to come. They're not crazy. And so he could well be way underground somewhere under that compound. But, you know, they found Saddam near his hometown and hiding out in a hole that way. So it's possible there, too.
And finally, where does NATO's operation go from here? Will they stay in control until the new government is in place?
That is hard to say, and my guess is it's less likely. I don't think we've prepared at all for the end of this. We haven't been as involved as we should have. in terms of being on the ground, and I don't mean large numbers of troops, but I mean the kinds of Americans from different services that can be ready, people supporting the rebels. We didn't prepare for Iraq's aftermath the way we should, and I don't think we've done it here, and NATO is certainly not prepared to do that. That's not what they do. The French and others are not going to be interested, I don't think, in that. The private sector can play a big role here. There are lots of Libyans who've managed to have contacts with Italians and French and Germans and others, and I think that they can be a help, but it's going to be, if we thought Iraq was messy, I think Libya will be even messier.
And I think one more question for you. Syria is probably next, and do you think they'll be energized by seeing this happen in Libya?
Absolutely. I think that the scaredest person in the last couple of days is Assad. He realizes he's the last one. What I said earlier, when human beings, and we all have this universal desire and right to be free, see the worst oppressors fall, and such an inglorious fall it is, I think that the Syrians will be even more emboldened. They are not going to stop what they're doing, and I hope that the West is ready to help.
All right. We really appreciate your time. We've been talking with Dr. Paul Bonacelli, who is an expert when it comes to Middle East situations like this. Paul, thanks so much.
Tony, thank you. I appreciate it.